In the name of Jesus, amen. More about the end of the world this morning. It hasn't happened yet, that we know. It hasn't happened yet. Could be today, could be tomorrow, could be next week, could be a month from now, could be 10 years from now, could be 100 years from now. All we know is it hasn't happened yet, and it's a day closer than it was yesterday. But it's going to happen. Everything the Bible has foretold has come true with 100% accuracy. 100%. They can't tell you what the weather's going to be 3 days from now. Your financial advisor will tell you that past performance does not predict future results. They don't know. But the Word of God, it will be as the Lord has said. It comes true. God does know. He sees the beginning, He sees the end. So it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Last week we heard from Mark 13, which we're hearing again from this morning, but last week we heard about how Jesus foretold the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. It happened just the way Jesus said. No stone was left unturned. In today's gospel reading, it continues. Jesus speaks about the end of the world. Now, as soon as we start talking about the end of the world, people start getting anxious. Well, you know, when's it going to be? We want to know. And that's one of the dangers about believing in the end of the world. People can get obsessed about it. They can get worried about it. They can become anxious about it. And people think, well, you know, look what's happening in the world. And they watch the news. What's happening in the Middle East or in China, and they look, these events, look, it's all talked about in Scripture. Simply not true. In fact, that's a form of unbelief. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Jesus said that. So when Jesus says, no one knows, what does he mean? He means no one knows. No one knows. And so if somebody says, well, you know, we've got this figured out. Look what's happening in the news. It's getting closer. Well, yes, it's getting closer, but no one knows. It's going to be a day of judgment. Yes. But remember, judgment cuts two ways. One can be judged guilty and sentenced to punishment. One also can be judged innocent and set free. You've been judged. You have been judged. Your judgment took place on a Friday afternoon a couple thousand years ago when Jesus died on the cross for your sins. When Jesus said right before he died, "It is finished." What was finished? Paying the price that you owe God because of your sins. All of your bad thoughts, all of your bad actions, all of your bad words, paid for by the precious blood of Christ. And because of that, God declares you to be innocent, judges you to be innocent. Jesus was condemned with the condemnation you deserved. That's why that Friday is called Good Friday. When Jesus died for the sins of the world and your sins. And then on Sunday he rose from the dead, reminding us that he has the power to bring the dead back to life. It was in last week's gospel lesson, and it snuck by you, and I did not call attention to it, but there's this very interesting phrase when Jesus talks about the signs of the end of the world. He says the signs are the beginning of birth pains. The beginning of birth pains. Now, if there are birth pains, what does that mean there's going to be? There's going to be a birth. There's going to be a new life. Imagine a woman who's pregnant and all of a sudden the birth pains come and say, oh no, I don't understand what's happening. This is horrible. This is terrible. And yes, the sensation, of course, is horrible and terrible. But what does she know is soon coming? The child. the blessing of new life. And so when we see the signs of the end of the world coming, and they have all been fulfilled, it's a reminder that they are the beginning of birth pains. There is a new life coming, a life that is better than the life that you have now, and that is promised to you because of Jesus and what He has done for the life of the world. And His word never fails, but always comes true. That's why the Bible talks about if anyone is in Jesus, he is a new creation. God is already beginning that restoration of His creation in you right now as you gather to hear His word and are reminded that you have been forgiven because of the precious blood of Christ. Jesus says, I am making all things new. New heavens, a new earth, and also a new you. So then how do we live? How do we live while we wait for that? Well, we serve the Lord where He has placed us. In our families, in our vocations, in our work, in our neighborhood, we serve the Lord by serving those around us. We are faithful to whatever task the Lord has given us to do. And as we do those tasks faithfully, we are serving the Lord. We have one eye on the earth and one eye on the heavens, so to speak. In today's epistle lesson, Jude reminds us of how we are to live. He says, build yourselves up in the most holy faith. How do you build yourself up in the faith? Well, doing what we're doing this morning, gathering to hear the word of the Lord. Once you have come to faith in Christ, are there things you can do to strengthen and encourage your faith? Yes, of course. Just like once you learn to feed yourself, you can feed yourself with nutritious food, or you can feed yourself with junk food. But you have that control over what you feed yourself with. And so with our faith, are there things you can do that nourish your faith? Yes. Gathering for worship, receiving the body and blood of Christ, reading God's word and meditating upon it. God uses those things to build you up in your most holy faith. And then Jude also adds, pray in the Holy Spirit. With the word comes prayer. The end times are time for prayer. When we see the things happening around us, what a vibrant reminder. When we see things, horrible things happening or things happening in the news that disturb us, what should we do? Take it to the Lord in prayer. And so we pray the Lord's Prayer together. We pray it individually. But then we also pray our own individual prayers in the Spirit, knowing that the Spirit intercedes for us with groans and sighs that goes beyond words. God delivers His word into our ears, and then the Spirit delivers our words of prayers into the Father's ears. Jude goes on, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Notice it's mercy that we are waiting for, and life. And we wait for that mercy as we receive it through the body and blood of Christ and through the Holy Word given to us. Lastly, Jude says, have mercy on those who doubt. And Jude would remind us to care for one another. Doubt and faith always run together because we believe what we do not now see. And everybody's somewhere different along that continuum of doubt and faith. Some people have no questions, other people have many questions, and sometimes we go back and forth between the two. And so we encourage one another. That's why it's very, very difficult, if not impossible, to be a solitary Christian. You try to be a Christian on your own and it doesn't work very well. You are like a lamb separated from the flock, who is just a very appetizing target for a roaring lion like Satan to come and devour. And so we gather together as Christians to encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. And there is that assurance that the day is approaching. The birth pains are at hand. And Jesus is coming and coming soon. And He is the one who keeps us from stumbling, and He is the one who will present you blameless at the end. It's not our own efforts, it's not our own works, it's not our own piety. It's Jesus who keeps us blameless in the robe of righteousness which He provides. And that's why Jude says, "Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling," that would be Jesus, "and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forever. In His name, Amen."